Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
All right. It's Carl and Crew Mornings here, and we're rocking and rolling here today. We're talking Devos today. I got two different directions to go. Let me go Romans 15 here. You know, when we think about devotionals, I think it gets way too earthbound, meaning we aren't mindful of the fact that we got a God speaking to us. So let me go back. Let me go back. If you go to John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is not a turning of phrase or a figure of speech, a code for God speaking to you off the pages of Scripture with no voice included. That's just bologna sausage, guys. This is even the oldest. I would say some of the commentators that I've read on this passage of Scripture who would lean to cessationism, which means that the miraculous gifts have ceased for today. And that's a whole nother discussion for another time. But I'm only appealing to that because most commentators, even who believe that a lot of the spiritual gifts have ceased for today, they still believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking today. So the question is, are we hearing the voice of God? A quick reminder here. He is here. Jesus said that he had to go because it's to your advantage that I go, because when the Holy Spirit comes, let me just back up and read this here for you so you don't take my word for it. He says to his disciples in chapter 16 of John, verse 5, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, there is a transfer. There's a handoff in the spiritual realm of a baton that is significant here. I'm going away. Flesh and blood, Jesus. He's going to come to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt convicted by sin?
Yes.
It's almost as if someone is standing in a room with you going, Carl, this is not good. It might have well been an audible voice. The notion or impression in my heart and soul and mind is overwhelming. It's like the Holy Spirit saying, stop. That's too much. Don't do that. Don't open your mouth here. This would not be a good time to open your mouth. Oh, yeah. I told you you shouldn't open your mouth, Carl.
Yeah.
No, it's real.
We're laughing because, yes, we've all been there.
Yep. It's not practical.
Then the context is, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What a bummer for the disciples, huh? Because they've already heard that he's going to die for them. And he's saying, I got more to share, but you can't handle it.
I think you've had enough for today, so I'm going to stop.
Then he gives encouragement, verse 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare. Three words that are speak of this connection by way of a voice to our ears. He will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, I'll tell you something right now. You got to be one twisted pretzel theologian to try to diminish the role of the Holy Spirit that he's not actually speaking to us. He speaks. Promptings, nudgings, bumpings. It's powerful.
I think there's a reason that Jesus says it's to your advantage that I go, because the Holy Spirit comes after Jesus leaves. So I think that if the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to us, then a big advantage that Jesus is talking about is not there.
What's the most practical advantage of the Holy Spirit coming that Jesus spoke of in the just the practical theology and working out of Revelation and Revelation reminded? What can the Holy Spirit do that Jesus did not do?
I think the Holy Spirit can do communicating to everybody,
boom,
no matter where they are.
That's it.
Jesus, while he was here on earth, was in one place.
Boom. That's it.
But
you
the
nailed
Holy Spirit
it.
Is in the hearts of us all as believers.
You guys are something else. I did not know that anyone would get that. That's the best explanation of it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Why? Because he indwells, Ephesians 1, every person who's been sealed in the Holy Spirit has the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit's in every follower of Jesus all the time, and according to Jesus, speaking. Now, can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Yeah, by walking off and doing knuckleheaded stuff. Can we resist the Holy Spirit? Yep. Can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yep. And what happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit? According to Ephesians, we'll start singing and encouraging and with songs in our hearts. Just start building up the body of Christ. Do we have gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yep. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, what are they designed for? To build up the body of Christ so that we can be one and strengthened together as the body of believers. And how does the Spirit of God tell us how to use our gifts? How does the Spirit of God give us wisdom? How does the Spirit of God remind us of truth? He speaks. There's a spiritual discipline that we ignore too often. We don't listen. We don't listen. Now, isn't that freaky? The greatest saints of all time have had a conversational relationship with God. I don't care who it is. You name the best ones out there. They had nudgings, promptings, clear indications, sharp conviction. My dad one time tells me about it. This is how practical the Holy Spirit is. Now, if the Holy Spirit knows the day or the hour that you are going to be snatched out of here, is there a chance that Satan's going to try to do a preemptive strike? Absolutely. Is God sovereign over all things? Absolutely. Are there things in this, the world, the flesh, and the devil that are constantly bombarding and trying to take everything that God has set in motion off kilter? Sure. My dad's sitting he's at 13th and Gamble. I never knew that's a funny name for a street in Anchorage, Alaska, because there were no casinos up there. Gamble, I think, was the name of one of the early church founders, and that was just his name. He's at 15th and Gamble. The light goes green. My dad hears from the Spirit of God, "Don't go, Joe." He said, and this just happened, bang, bang, like quick. Light goes green. He doesn't go. Three lanes of traffic, rather large highway for Anchorage, Alaska. He was the only one there. He's in a middle lane, and he hesitated and stopped. And within the next 1 second, a probably very intoxicated driver came through the intersection about 70, 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
My dad said it just absolutely overwhelmed him with the grace and power of God.
Wow.
Now, was the Holy Spirit speaking to my dad? Yes.
Absolutely.
No question about it. And it's to use a dad term, it's high time. I don't know where you got high time from. But it's high time we start understanding that we are spiritual beings. And if all the wisdom you're going to gain is at a natural man, a horizontal level, you are going to get your toes into the kimchi more times than God wants you to. Just straight up will. So we got a question for you about devotionals today.
Yeah. How has God spoken to you from the pages of Scripture? And it led you to make some move or maybe not make some move. 312-274-9624.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Just got a simple little question for you here this morning. And I think maybe the biggest lesson here is understanding that the Spirit of God is speaking. We live so
earthbound. And I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to take a shot at kind of our brand, as it were, here. Bible churches, evangelical churches, have featured so well attributes and characteristics of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. And we have woefully undershot our need for understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm taking a shot at me so I can say that.
Okay.
But that's a fact. And I think a lot of it is a reaction to, oh my goodness, look at what's out there. And there's going to be abuses of everything, including the Father and the Son. But we've got to remember that the Spirit of God is speaking. This is why it's to our advantage that He would go, because when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. How? Twice in verse 13 of John 16, the word speak is used, and once declare. That's hard. You got to twist yourself into a theological pretzel to say that the Holy Spirit is not speaking today. But the question is how, and some people have asked me, have you audibly heard Him? And you know, here's what I would say to that. No, and it's almost better. And let me tell you why. Have you ever had anyone, when you're trying to talk with someone and you got someone else yakking in your ear over here, and then you can't hear what this person's trying to say to you?
Right.
The promptings I get by the Holy Spirit have an unbelievable ability to give me a very clear message without the distraction of an audible voice. It's unbelievable.
Interesting.
Unbelievable. So I would say, some people would say, well, has the Holy Spirit been audible with you? No, it's better than that.
No.
I can be in the middle of a message, and the Lord's telling me through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's leave that out. Let's put this in. No joking. I can be in here doing radio. And now if I'm in here doing radio, but I've got Allie just going on, let's just experiment with this for a second. I'm going to talk to Young Thunder, and then you just start yakking. Okay, so let's just go. Here we go.
Okay.
So anyway, so we're having
You're
a good time
to
here
Carl
right
and crew
now. Okay,
here
we
can
stop
radio.
Right there. It drives you crazy. See? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this notion that you have to go climb a mountain, burn an incense, and listen to the Holy God, Holy Spirit speak audibly, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's better than that.
It's better.
You don't have audible confusion.
Yeah.
You have deep notion, depth of understanding, conviction, and promptings by the Holy Spirit who is speaking now.
Because the thing is when God prompts you, He's prompting you. So having the Holy Spirit speak into your heart saying, yeah, this is what I want to lead you into, and it's just to you, that's a beautiful thing. It's personalized.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Marion in Chicago, how'd the Holy Spirit prompt you?
Yeah, hey, Carl. So I have a ministry called Timothy's Ministry, helping the homeless in Chicago. And during COVID, everything shut down for 6 months or so, but we found a way to meet outside together. And family and friends were always calling me saying, you shouldn't be going down there. You're going to get sick. That's when everything was flashing all over the news,
yeah,
with people dying. And one morning I was gripped with fear, and we had already bags to give away, like 60 grocery bags down there. We volunteers coming with food, all set. And I woke up that morning, I was so filled with fear that something was going to happen to me. And I asked God, should I go, Lord? Should I go? We have all this food, but I could wait. We could wait a few weeks. And I heard so clearly Proverbs 3:4-6. So I know that by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then I heard, open the Bible and read it, which was odd, but I did it. And as I opened the Bible to read it, I was flipping the page to get, I was one page ahead of Proverbs 3:4-6.
Right.
And when the words just jumped out at me on the Bible, as I was turning the page, happened to be verse 25, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. And this part is amazing. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act.
Oh,
and then this
that's
is
right.
The best. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you when you already have it. And I had it. And that's what I was saying to God. I can always just tell them, like, we'll wait. That's when everybody was on ventilators on the news. And my kids were saying, don't go down there. So I knew. And no one ever got sick. We never closed. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So
Marion, that is awesome. And by the way, a phenomenal example practically of God's miraculous movement to prompt us by the Spirit. That is off the chain.
Wow.
That is off the chain. Where are we at, hot dog?
A minute and a half.
All right.
That you can spare?
Hang on. We'll be back in a minute and a half to spare.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, guys, we got a lot going on here. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we've got... Allie told a joke this morning. It was so stinking funny, man. I'm still cracking up over that one. But we've got Allie thinks it's funny, and every now and Carl just busts a gut. That one, I don't know why that got me so well.
Okay, don't tell it. I will add that one as a bonus.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'll throw that one in.
Oh, that is so funny. I went down the hall using the restroom here earlier, and I'm laughing out loud.
Don't oversell it, though. You can't say this is the funniest joke you've ever heard.
I can be dad if I want to be dad. Dads oversell stuff.
Okay.
You know that from your own dad, right?
I do.
So we got Allie thinks it's funny coming up. We got a lot cooking here, but let me just say this, man. God is speaking. God is speaking. The Spirit of God is speaking. Why do we need to have the Word of God in us, though? Why is that so important? Why is the black and white pages of Scripture paramount to the Holy Spirit? Why is that?
The Word of God is the only way we can know for certain, without a shadow of a doubt, what God is speaking to us.
And the promise of Jesus himself is exactly that. That the words of the Spirit are going to remind us of everything that Jesus said.
Yes. So we need the Word of God because hearing from God in any other way will always be confirmed by the Word of God.
Yeah. So let me get this practical. Will God tell you whether or not to buy a Mercedes-Benz? Let me just grab that car. I don't know why I grabbed that one. A Toyota? Will God tell you whether or not to go to this school or not? Let me be bold here. I think God is going to remind you of sound, solid, biblical principles and teachings, precepts of his word that are going to give you utterly clear guidance on the acquisition of that vehicle.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine bought a Tesla and he's kicking himself for doing it. He said, I got over my skis. Shouldn't have done it. He said, I shouldn't have done it. He said, I was following my own voice. I said, how do you know you shouldn't have done it? Because the Lord told me after I got it, you didn't have money for that. And this is the first time you talked to me about it.
Mm. Ooh.
Wow.
So will the Holy Spirit tell you whether or not to go to the Caribbean? No. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you whether or not you need a break. You need a Sabbath. You need an adventure with your kids because you've neglected a season with them. Even a memory maker, a marker. That's how the Spirit of God speaks.
Yeah, and so you don't have to, because sometimes you can almost freak yourself out, like, was that God? Was that not God? Was it something I ate? Was it just my own thought? That's why the Word of God is so important.
Yeah.
Because you anchor any sort of impression or leading or prompting that you get, you anchor it in the Word.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't line up with the Word, you can absolutely know that it's not from God.
Yeah, absolutely certain. Good discussion here, guys. Hang on. Crazy jokes from Crazy Alley coming up straight ahead. Cool Alley.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Making herself laugh no matter who joins her. It's time for Alley Thinks It's Funny.
Better be good.
Had a couple weeks off to get these, Allie.
Come on.
Had a week, 1 week off.
One week off, sorry, yes.
And we're reloading.
Boy, he's rough on you in here.
I know he is.
Had a couple weeks off.
There's literally, he laughs at about 2% of the jokes.
Wow.
So.
Maybe four.
I'd say four, at least.
Okay. So a guy named Daniel, we call him Dan, he's a friend of mine, he's looking for a house. What one requirement did he give his real estate agent? My friend Dan, he's looking for a new home. What one requirement did he give his real estate agent?
I thought I hit it. Did I hit it? Dan Cave?
You know, but I like that.
I like that too.
Daniel says, I'd prefer a house with no den.
That's pretty good.
That was a good one.
Chuckle.
A little chuckle.
Okay, a little chuckle. Okay, Carl, you lived through the 70s. Do you remember they called people hippies? There was, you know, kind of a...
That was 60s, but yeah.
60s, okay. Generationally speaking, statistically speaking.
Statistically, there were still hippies that existed in the 70s.
There's hippies now, so I'm with you.
Okay, so what do you call a hippie's wife? What do you call a hippie's wife?
Oh, I don't know, but this might be good.
Mississippi. If you want today's jokes, text the word jokes to 312-274-9624. Thank you to a Boom crew member who submitted that second joke by text message. Text the word jokes to 312-274-9624.
What's the matter with you, young thunder? That was good.
I was going to say, your laugh at it is actually what got me
that
into
was
the joke
good.
Itself.
Mississippi?
I'm sorry.
That is outstanding.
God just didn't build me this way.
Oh, Allie, bless your heart.
That usually isn't a positive when someone says,
bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Look at you telling those jokes.
Look at your heart. Look at you.
Thank you for that.
Oh, that was great.
312-274-9624.
Mississippi. That is really good.
Thank you, Carl. You need Carl in the front row if you
want. You do. You really do.
No, the first one wasn't that good.
I liked the first one.
The first one stunk.
Okay, well, one out of two.
I'm going to be honest. First one was stinko. But I like my Dan Cave better than that.
You know what? I rewrite jokes sometimes. No
Do
joke.
You?
No joke.
Boy, wow. She's out there.
I rewrite them if I think there's a way to make them funnier. So go ahead and try out Dan Cave. See if that works.
All right. Coming up, Susie Larson's going to be with us with the Devo guys that my wife gives huge props to. Hang on.
Need a wake-up call? We can help with that. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
So we've given away cases of Streams in the Desert, a devotional. Cases over the years. It's like, have you read any portions of Streams in the Desert?
Yes.
Amazing devotional. Mm-hmm. So my bride tells me this, she's been telling me now for a couple of weeks, tells me this morning, Bub, this devotional by Susie is like right neck and neck with Streams in the Desert. How about that for an affirmation, Susie Larson?
I don't even know what to say. Thank
Isn't
you.
Isn't that something?
That was worth getting up extra early for. Thank you.
No, it's super. Wow. My bride went on to say, in fact, my phone blew up this morning. She goes, Susie's devotional walks you into healing, gets to the heart. Mm. I felt and I hear from others, Bub, she calls me Bub, that she really is helping leading people to healthy biblical healing in Christ. Victory over pain, loss, hardship, etc. You got a big fan in my bride. What caused you to write this book, Susie?
Well, you know, having been on your show so many times, and I'm so grateful for that. Some of your friends might know my backstory, but for those who don't, you know, there's some trauma in my childhood. And then as a young adult, contracted Lyme disease and battled for many years and had a massive relapse about 8-9 years ago that involved mold toxicity. And Chris Fabry has talked about his family walking through something similar. But as a live talk radio host, it went to my brain and was affecting my tongue and my head and my neck. So even my cognitive function was declining. I was writing a book and couldn't remember how to spell basic words. And it was a nightmare. And there was a stretch of nights in the middle of the night where my heart was beating out of my chest irregularly, shooting numbing up my neck into my jaw, like stroke-like symptoms, where I would pace the floor all night long and do deep breathing and quote scripture. And a couple times I fell to my knees and said, Lord, you got to either kill me or heal me because I can't keep doing this. I mean, it was the throes of fire. It was hard. And a friend who had no judgment in her heart whatsoever, just so much compassion. She said, you developed a posture of bracing for impact. And I felt no defense in my heart at all. I just cognitively thought maybe that's just the natural reaction of an unpredictable disease. But because she had so much compassion, I don't know if you've ever experienced, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Oh,
when
yeah.
someone brings a word in compassion, because that's always what moved Jesus, right?
Right.
I brought that before God and said, is there more? Is there more here that I don't see about myself? And he showed me my heart. He showed me that in the basement of my soul, I was hurt by him and disappointed in him, but I love him and fear him. And where am I going to go? So I was still serving him every day on the radio with sincerely. I was still showing up in the morning, opening up the word sincerely. But I was so hurt that this was happening again at this age and stage of my life. And I didn't set out to write this book. What God showed me, and when he showed me my heart, is that my eyes the gaze was on the symptoms, on the terror, on the fear of what worst thing might happen. And I'm like, show me the way out of here, Lord, because I'm not going to accuse you of things that the devil is guilty of.
Right.
And as I started a journey of just retraining my heart and mind to set my gaze on the goodness of God and search the scripture, there's a case for the goodness of God. Something changed in me. And my husband said, your eyes look different. He said, you're carrying yourself different. And I literally could feel my cells opening up. I could. And we've got a number of friends who are doctors who said there is a scientific truth that, and I've said this in my old book, what happens in your soul happens in your cells. But literally the posture that you embrace impacts you physiologically so deeply. So the whole point of this Devo is a 40-day journey, short readings. It takes just a minute to read it, but I want you to marinate all day in the truth of that day's reading so that you could heal. And we're hearing so many testimonies of people who hadn't even realized they were living with locked elbows. And you can't at once live with open hands expectant of what God has for you and trying to brace yourself from him as if he's the enemy. He's not the enemy.
Yeah.
Wow. Susie Larson, our guest this morning, best-selling author, national speaker. Today, we're featuring a resource. It's a devotional book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. Now, Susie, I want you to key in on where you just landed there, because a lot of people, faithful Christians, walking with the Lord a lot of years, maybe with a similar background, why is living like with the sense of, okay, I'm prepared. I just want to be prepared for something else to happen. I've been through this before. Why is that a problem? Because many people wouldn't see this posture as a problem. I'm serving the Lord. Why can't I kind of live self-protective?
Because self-preservation and kingdom life are incompatible. And it creates an illusion of control and even a mistrust in God. And I'm not saying live with your guard down. You know, the devil never takes a break. So you always want to, you know, you worship and you keep your shield close by to block from the fiery darts. But the idea that when you've not resolved your hurts and your losses in light of God's love, these are open loops in your heart and mind. And they're exactly the places where the devil will get in and accuse you or accuse God of things that he's actually guilty of. So trying to maintain control is not at all cohesive with getting a kingdom vision. But I'm telling you, when you start to build a case for the goodness of God, and I just start here, you know, someone once said, if you woke up tomorrow with only the gifts that you thanked God for today, what would you have? So I suggest that you look at everything today that you'd miss if it were gone tomorrow and put a gift tag to you, to Carl from God, you know, to you from God, and see his gift tags everywhere, because he's meticulous and he's miraculous. And when you start to fix your gaze on the things that God has already done for you, you realize I have a history with God, which means I have a future too. I'm going to keep my hope in God. If you're trying to maintain control, if you're trying to protect yourself from getting hurt, you cannot live with a holy expectancy. One of my guests, Jeff Mannion, once said years ago, we try to become experts at not getting hurt, but we've got to become experts at learning to heal.
Yeah.
And because life is going to life you,
right,
you know, and we've got to become experts at learning to bounce back. And you will be able to when you start to understand no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Any way that the enemy tries to come against me, God has got a superior plan, so that when I walk through my trial, the enemy will have less real estate in my life and I will have a firmer hold on God's goodness and his promises.
Boom. Susie Larson, Boom Crew. It's called Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. When we get back here, I've got a cool passage of scripture that is going to underscore something, Susie, that I think you are 100% in lockstep with. A lot of times we want to get healed for our sake, But most often, God heals us for the sake of others. And we find that right here in Romans 15. We'll break it down with Susie. My bride, Boom Cruz, says that this is, out of all the devotionals she's ever read, and she's read a ton, she said this one in 40 days, Streams in the Desert. But this book of Susie's, she goes, Bub, it is transformational. So she's living out what we find in Romans 15:4, and we'll talk about what that was, Susie, straight ahead.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
When you receive healing and wholeness, the amazing thing is, and I just want to come uncorked on this one, is then we have the opportunity to help others. Susie Larson is our guest. Her new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God. Amazing book. My bride, Jubes, man, she just, Janann is her name. I never call her by her name on air. But she says, Bub, this is a book that people need to get a hold of. It's great. But Susie, here's what's cool. We look in Romans 15. In this, it starts out, we who are strong, and this is all relative, right? Because it's, Paul's a champion of saying in our weakness, he is strong. But it, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and to not please ourselves. Just a couple verses later, then it says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. It's an amazing thing that God wants us healed and whole, not just for us, but for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right, Susie?
Oh, absolutely. And as you're talking about Romans, I'm thinking of Hebrews 12:12. So take a firm grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Why? So that the lame and the weak will not fall out of their race. And the thing is, when you set your gaze and you say, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God will bring forth some kind of healing and restoration in my life because that's who he is and that's what he does. Your heart can't live without hope, without expectancy. And I remember one stretch when it was just so tough. I was, you know, telling the word back to the Lord, lamenting and actually probably whining more than lamenting because lamenting is beautiful, sacred, and it's holy and important. But I was probably more whining. But I'm like, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And Lord, this my hope has been deferred for so long. How long till I see a breakthrough, God? And the Lord just pressed me like a good father. Look it up. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. The word deferred is actually a verb, and it means hope put off, hope postponed. So it's that wasn't God's fault. Our hearts can't live without hope. And for me, that's like deferring a payment, going, I'm going to kick the can down the field. I'll pay for it later. And the thing is, you're in a long season of waiting. You've got to find reason for hope, and you're not going to find it if you're convinced that God is the source of your problems. The enemy is the thief. God is the one who brings life. The enemy brings trauma. The Lord Jesus himself brings restoration. And as you believe that with your whole heart and soul and embrace the fact that there is a mystery to his ways, but you follow a healer, you will have hope in your heart. And scripture says, always be ready to give an answer about the hope that's within you. In other words, when people ask about the hope, you'll have an answer because you're living in hope. Well, they're not going to ask about hope in you if they don't see any hope on you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And so you keep your heart set on him and you go, I know my God is good. He will always make a way for me. And if I'm not healed in this life, I'm going to be healed in the next. And this isn't just about physical healing. Everybody has trauma. Everybody has loss and hurt and disappointment. And I think, Carl, so often what we do is compare ours with someone else's.
Yes.
And either if theirs is worse, then we stuff ours into the basement and don't deal with it. If theirs is less, we can become a cynic or a whiner or a victim. But we're victors. And so we're not to compare our suffering with anybody, but we're to bring it before the Lord to say, this isn't healed yet. I have questions about this. And I want you to know God welcomes those conversations because he wants you to know the truth about your suffering so you can walk on his path of healing.
Oh, well, this book, I'm excited to get this one. Waking Up to the Goodness of God, Susie Larson, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. At the end of 40 days, what's a realistic goal for someone who approaches this book? A lot of times we're looking for a quick fix. We're looking for the next book. I've tried all of the books. What's a realistic goal for approaching this devotional journey?
Well, that's a great question. You really get out what you put in. I remember I worked in fitness for over a decade and taught all kinds of fitness classes. And there were some who would show up for step class and throw their whole body into every move. And there was one particular gal that would tap her toes. She'd barely move her joints. And she would always complain about the instructors. They never give me a good enough workout. And I watched her and I'm like, this isn't them. I'm telling you what. And
On you, sweetheart.
Yes, exactly right. Oh. And so I just want to say this with great love. But the readings are short. But at the end, there's a faith declaration and a brain retrain. That's the work that I want you to apply yourself to each day. And as you do that, I really do believe that you're going to start to feel change from the inside out. And because I'm a former fitness person and someone who's battled for over 3 decades in health, the joke for me is I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio, you know, but I do have a high capacity for understanding the human body. I love how fearfully, wonderfully made we are. And this is a cellular thing that when you really apply yourself to the love of God, because you're so fearfully, wonderfully made, and you get a hopeful expectancy that today's a new day, His mercies are new, God's always up to something good, it is good for you. It's actually fuel for your brain to have something to look forward to. And so we're made for expectancy. We're made for hope. So my hope and prayer by the end of the 40 days is that you have developed a practice, like the training wheels have come off, and as a way of life, you're applying yourself to the goodness of God, to the kindness of God. You're getting good at remembering your history with God, that your scripture talks about, remember the things He's done. Tell others, give examples of His power. That's Psalm 145. And as that becomes a regular way of life, you will find a joy and a strength, and even a resiliency that maybe you haven't had before.
Wow. Thank you so much to our guest, Susie Larson, this morning. I'll give you we don't have a keyword for you, but you can find this wherever you buy your
books. Yes, get them.
Waking Up to the Goodness of God by Susie Larson. Just do a quick search on it and you can choose your preferred book seller. Waking Up to the Goodness of God by Susie Larson.
This is going to encourage you and someone else. We just had one of our consistent listeners here from Atlanta said, I purchased 6 copies to give to friends already.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a powerhouse.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Got a question for you, Boom Crew, and we're going to keep this cooking until the bottom of the hour. I want to put this out there. The greatest evidence of the power of devotionals is the testimonies of you that have gone through a season where you really leaned in and listened to the Lord. It's what Colin Smith was saying yesterday. It's this spending time in the Word, really marinating on it. It's not even a good word. We have to be mindful of the fact that the Spirit of God is speaking through the pages of Scripture. John 16:13, man. He will guide us into all truth. He will speak what I have spoken, Jesus said, of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is moving. And a lot of people ask that question. Let me just answer it right now. Is that an audible voice? Close to it in the Spirit, in the movement of the Holy Spirit is an interesting thing. That word speak and to hear indicates a notion of prompting. That's the best way to describe that, a notion of prompting. And, you know, sometimes we live so much in the natural man that we hear about things like that, and we're like, what in the world? But I think even lost people capture this notion stuff better than some born again people do. And we who are in Christ Jesus and have the Holy Spirit need to be listening to what God is saying.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of discussion now about spiritual life and spiritism and mindfulness, and there's a lot of people attempting to hear voices, and they're saying they hear voices. There's no question in my mind that those are voices of darkness that are perpetuating a lie, not directing people back to the foot of the cross. But Jesus was very clear, and we find that Paul is exceedingly clear that the reality is that when the Spirit of God comes and He guides us into all truth, He is, and the Word is, speaking. And I think sometimes we overthink that, or we don't take it at face value. We had Michael Rydelnik on during Share, and I was very encouraged to hear him say, I mean, what I love about Michael is he's a black and white guy. He's by the book, right? But he left a lot of room for the fact that we will feel prompted by the Spirit of God. We will be nudged along. And the more we are mindful of the Spirit, meaning, let me ask you this, Allie, how does this work for you? When you're mindful of the Spirit and you're not stuck in the natural Allie state of things and in the bound by earth, how does that work for you?
Well, you know, I'll give an example. Just recently, I was in the middle of a task and I had this prompting to kind of go back and have a specific conversation with a person in my life.
Wow.
And I kind of have to veil the details there, but it stopped me on the steps and I had a moment of decision. I feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do this one thing right now. And I stood there, kind of froze for a minute, like, okay, what am I going to do?
Coming up, what did she do? And we want to ask you a simple little question this morning, Boom Crew. How is a devotional time, not a black and white pages of scripture, but you marinated in the word enough that it's like, boom, this is what you're to do. And you've heard from the Lord. Give us a call right now. We're going to take calls on this one. 312-274-9624. We'll get the rest of Allie's story coming up. We're ready for yours. 312-274-9624.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Devotionals, as we've been tackling all week long, can get reduced down to something that we do. Not who we are, and certainly not anticipating what God may say. But when our mind is saturated and re-wallpapered with the Word of God, it positions us to do exactly what we find in John 16:13, that the Holy Spirit, for which picks up the baton where Jesus left off and now guides us into all truth, and he speaks to we, his children, in a way that prompts us, directs us, and gives us these holy nudges to go this way, that, give this mount, don't do that. And it happens all the time, and it did for you, Allie.
Just recently, and I was walking up the stairs from the basement to the main floor of our home, and I just had this Holy Spirit prompting to have a conversation, a specific conversation, to pray with someone for something specific. Sorry, I can't give you more details than that, but it was a family thing, so I got to be careful. But I stood there on the stairs, and I'll be honest, my first reaction was, no. In my mind, I thought, no. Yeah. It wasn't something that I wanted to do necessarily.
Right.
Felt a little bit awkward.
Yes.
It felt a little bit forward. There was no invitation necessarily, but I stood there on kind of like the third stair and thought, what am I going to do here? This is like, all happened in a matter of, you know, maybe 20, 30 seconds. And I thought, I'm going to do it. And it was a moment of decision. And I'll add one more thing that I have found in my life, that when I am spending time with the Lord in his word, in prayer, I am much more likely to be aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
I don't think you can separate the two.
No.
When I am not as faithful, then I'm much more like, was that my own thought? That was a random thought that popped in my mind. There's a lot more confusion over, is that me? Is that the Lord speaking? So I don't think you can separate the devotional life from the Holy Spirit promptings.
It's as simple as if you've got two wells that you dip into water to get a drink. And if you're dipping into a well that is absent of the wisdom and counsel of the Word of God, you're going to be dipping into a well of worldly, natural man, nature-based thoughts and guidance. But if we've got a well filled, and you just step over to the right and go to this well, and this well is a well filled with the truth of God's Word, what you're going to drink out of there is going to be totally different. And it's going to satisfy you. And now, according to the Word of God, it's going to prompt you along to live in a very vertical way where otherwise we'd be stuck at the horizontal.
Making herself laugh no matter who joins her. It's time for Allie Thinks It's Funny.
As promised, I'm going to bring out Carl's favorite joke. So,
well, of today.
Of today, the team has heard this,
this
one,
is so
but
good.
For your benefit.
I might laugh again.
I'm going to bring a repeater. Carl, you lived through the 60s and the 70s.
I did.
You're familiar with the hippie movement?
It used to freak me out when I was an eight-year-old in San Francisco.
So what do you call a hippie's wife? What do you call a hippie's wife? Stop laughing already. A hippie's wife?
I don't know why this is so good.
Mississippi.
I don't know why that's so good.
I'm not sure why that one.
I don't know either. It just hit me so funny.
Mississippi.
If you've never seen a Mrs. Hippie, you wouldn't get it. But if you've seen a Mrs. Hippie, you can see him floating down the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Go ahead, Allie.
This one is for Jonathan.
Hold on. Time out. Are you grumping in there over that joke?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Just pay him no, never mind.
Thank you. I won't pay him no,
Jonathan, do you see the tennis court over there?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
How'd that get
Do you know that girl that's standing in the middle of the court? Do you know her?
Do I? I don't know. No.
Her name is Annette.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, that one's good.
I'm laughing because I no joke, Allie's staring at me, the sheer excitement to
She's
tell
so
me that punchline.
Because he just was like, what is she doing?
I don't know what I'm supposed to answer.
That one was great.
That one was funnier than I thought it'd be. Oh boy. Okay, I gotta regroup for this last one.
Last one.
All right. There's a chicken coop at my kid's school. I love those little chickens.
Oh, yeah. Right.
What do you call it when the chicken just stands there and it stares at lettuce? They eat lettuce. They just stand there and stare at it. What do you call it?
I don't know.
Chicken sees a salad.
Oh, yeah. That's good. All right.
Okay, all of these today are awesome. Oh,
that was really good. That was really
chicken
good.
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad.
Text the word jokes.
So good.
My eyes are watering.
Oh,
text
job,
the word jokes to 312-274-9624. If you too want to delight and make your friends cringe, text the word jokes to 312-274-9624.
Oh, those are outstanding. Annette.
Jonathan
chicken
really.
Caesar salad.
Oh,
chicken
boy.
That was good.
Mississippi.
Well, there you have it. You can have them times. Jokes to 312-274-9624.
Oh, that was great. Chicken Caesar salad. That's really good. That is so good. Where are you getting these now? You're in a good well. You need to keep dipping out of that well.
I got a hunt. I go on the hunt regularly for these jokes. It's my thing now.
Okay, coming up in 1 minute. We got someone that's got a devotional voice, let me tell you.
Oh, boy. And a concert this Friday night in Chicago. CeCe Winans coming up.
Don't just keep it to yourself. Give what you've heard to a friend with the Carl and Crew Showcast. Just go to carlandcrew.org.
She is the best-selling, most awarded female gospel artist of all time, long since cemented her status as one of the most accomplished and celebrated women in modern music history. Joining us right now, CeCe Winans. So excited to have you joining us here on Carl and Crew Mornings. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. So what are you believing for God to do in this goodness tour that you are bringing to Chicago this Friday?
Oh, man. I'm believing for him to do the impossible in the lives of his people. You know, people are coming out. The Goodness Tour has been awesome because they are coming ready to lift up a praise, you know, and there's power in unity. There's power in praise, and God is showing up. So I'm just believing that people are coming. They're being refreshed. They're being renewed. But they're being saved. We do the salvation prayer every wow. night, and we're believing for healing. We're just believing for God to do what he does best, and that is bless his people.
Yeah. As you've made these different stops, I know it's a 20-city tour. It started back in February. You're going to be joining us this Friday here in Chicago at the House of Hope. But Do you get a sense, I mean, from your perspective as you're mm-hmm. you're leading in worship and as you're mm-hmm. encountering people at different places and stages in their mm-hmm. walk, do you get a sense of any sort of trends of what you see in terms of struggle or strongholds or what people are dealing with across the country right now? I know that's maybe an odd question, but from your perspective, what are you seeing? What are some of the major themes or struggles?
Well, you said the struggles, and I believe there are major struggles everywhere that people are going through. Depression, family issues, sicknesses, definitely. But the theme I'm seeing is desperation. I'm seeing desperation for God.
Wow.
And that's good news to me. People are not coming to be entertained. They're coming to participate. And I see an awakening. When we really begin to understand that we need God, not only do we want him, but we need him, mm-hmm. there's a different sound to me of desperation, of appreciation in the church across the board. But as far as the same type of trend of what people are going through, not really. It's just that I know of different cases. Yeah. I know of different things that are going on. Not just in my home church, but, you know, because of who I am and what we do, I'm aware. It's a lot of darkness happening.
Yeah.
We can see that on the news. It's almost like when the Word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, mm-hmm. would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I feel like we're getting that.
Yes.
We understand that it depends on us.
Well, that's so encouraging to hear. I mean, you use the word, mm-hmm. you're seeing people desperate for God, and you use the word yeah. awakening. That's got to encourage mm-hmm. your heart as a worship leader, as the wife of a pastor.
Yeah.
That's got to excite you.
It does. It excites me. And I'm leaving so blessed. I'm telling you, I've been doing every night, you know, a little recap of just thanking people for coming. But there has been times when I just thought the place was going to explode. It's been so powerful. I don't hear all the personal testimonies. I'm asking people to send them in now. But I know God has got to be moving.
Yeah.
Because his word tells us. And when you look at the scriptures, when you see what happened when they followed the instructions at Jericho, you know, when they shouted and they followed the instructions prior to that, how the walls came down. When you see what happened with Paul and Silas at midnight, when instead of complaining, they begin to worship and praise God, how God set them free, and not just them, but everybody in prison. You know, there's a desperate sound in praise that I'm hearing, that I just know God is doing great things.
Wow. Cece Winans, our guest right now. Now, you've been doing this a lot of years, and you're kind of in the yeah. middle of this 20-city tour. How do you keep yeah. yourself? We've been talking here in Chicago about devotions and kind of our own personal time with the Lord. How do you keep yeah. yourself strong in the Lord as you're doing a lot of traveling and the wear and tear on your vocal cords and the fatigue? How do you build yourself right. up in the faith so that when you get on that stage, it's not a performance, but it's worship?
Well, I give out of my overflow. You know, I understand the importance of staying in the Word of God, having times of quiet, you know, so even though when you look at my schedule, it looks like there's nonstop. That's not what it is, because if it was nonstop, I would stop.
Yeah.
Especially at this age, I would stop. But it's making sure, like even with the tour, I do 3 days a week. And as I told everybody, you know, I think 3 days will be the max. So I'm normally home on Saturday. So I'm at Saturday prayer. We have 9 a.m. prayer at church. Then I have my life group that I do on Saturday after prayer. And then we're there for Sunday, all three services. And then we're, you know, I'm resting on Monday. And then I'm back on the road tonight. And this is during the tour. I'll get on the bus at 10 p.m. tonight. And then I really have most of my days free until about 2 o'clock when I'm out on the road.
Okay.
So I have time for my prayer. I have time to just sit there in the presence of the Lord. And then I listen to great music, Christian music all day. You know, I'm living in his presence. So then when I get on the stage, it's just an extension of what I've been doing all day. And then joining in with the people of God, coming to worship And that's what I've been encouraging them all to do. Come ready to open up your mouth. Come ready to lift your hands. Come ready to cry out so that God will not only bless us, but will bless our cities.
Wow. Cece Winans, you're going to be singing some of the familiar favorites that we play, Believe For It, Goodness of God.
Yes.
You're also going to be introducing some new music. You've got an album coming out next month. Tell us about some of the new music you've got going.
Oh, well, you know, it's another live record. This is my second live record, but this time we actually have a live audience. Praise God. Last time it was during the pandemic and we could only have 50 people, but we redid Holy Forever. So we got some new songs, brand new songs, original songs, but also we did some remakes, powerful remakes that you guys have heard already. Holy Forever. We're singing our new single, That's My King, which is so much fun and so powerful, declaring who Jesus is. And then let me see what else we're doing. Refiner. It's just amazing. And we're doing Believe For It. We're doing Goodness of God. And everybody is just beautiful, hearing the voices. And I think that's one of the major things on this new record that is so powerful. One original song that we recorded is called Too Late to Lose. Oh, my goodness. So powerful.
I love that.
And to hear the audience singing Too Late to Lose. It's just like we're joining in with heaven. We're joining in with heaven. When you sing Holy Forever and when you sing, you know, the praises and worthy is your name. It's just powerful. So, yeah, we're singing some of the new stuff from the new record, some of the old stuff from Believe For It record. And we even go a little bit further from there. And then we're doing some hymns in there. It's a powerful night.
Sounds like it. Cece Winans, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always such
a
blessing. We're going to play.
Looking forward to seeing everybody in Chicago. Come on out and worship with me.
Absolutely. We'll get you ticketing information if you text the word tickets to 312-274-9624. Text tickets. We will send you the link in concert this Friday at 7 o'clock, House of Hope in Chicago. Just text tickets to 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.